It is the WEOL Morning Show, and in studio as they visit us every month on the first Thursday of the month, Lorain County Public Health joins us today, and we have with us Ashley Branson, Program Manager with School Health. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
And also we have Kat Solov, the Program Manager for Health Promotions and Chronic Disease Prevention. Hi, Kat. Hi.
Good morning.
Nice to see you there as well. So let's talk about we're into August. We're starting high school football not too far from now. And I've seen a lot of signs on schools, you know, getting ready for the back to school. But we think about school supplies. But for you in the health department, Ashley, what's the main thing that you're thinking of when it comes to back to school?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things. But I would say the top thing that we are all looking at right now would be the vaccines, those typical childhood vaccines that protect the kiddos from those diseases such as tetanus, measles, whooping cough, things of those sorts. We usually like to send out reminders at the end of the year and in the middle of the summer for, you know, the parents or the guardians to reach out to doctors or even to us to schedule those appointments if they're needed.
You know, I'm looking on here and there's the dreaded, what I consider the vaccine records. I must have, when my daughter was growing up, had like four of them or one file, and I thought I was trying to get a good system. Is there a good way to keep track of that? I mean, what's your recommendation
for
that?
Yes, there is. They can give us a call. The number would be 440-284-3206. They can also go on our website, LorainCountyHealth.com, and we can lead them to those records at no cost at all. They would be able to come up and get those without any problem.
Right. And depending on the age of the child, there's some that come in different doses or different ages and things like that, right? So you have to know what age the child is to know what they have, right?
Right. And which, you know, dose they would be in that series and things of that sort.
Right. And then there's a sort of a quiet period, I think. And then there's ones where that happens when they come teenagers as well, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I just don't know where
the file is for that.
And yes.
My daughter went through okay with that. So that's the idea. And the importance of that, not only protect the child, but also sort of protect the whole ecosystem of the school, right?
From correct. Everything. Yes, the ecosystem of the school and the community as a whole. That's what, you know, our aim is, to keep everyone safe, keep everyone well.
How does, and I don't know whether you can address this related to the COVID vaccine, relate to any of these kind of vaccines? What is the protocol for that at this point?
At this point, there's no particular protocol. It's not a mandated or required vaccine. It's totally, you know, up to the parents, those guardians, if they choose to, you know, have their kiddos vaccinated. Or even some who are 12 and older, they can be boosted now as well.
Okay. What else does you do for that? The school nurse is the other part. Like, now, are you a nurse yourself?
I am. Yes.
So have you been a school nurse at some point?
I have.
Okay.
Yes. Still am. Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Still everywhere. So let's talk about that. I guess the impact that the Lorain County Public Health has related to the school nurse.
Oh, goodness. Well, there's multiple things we do. We take on a lot of responsibilities. We contract with multiple districts throughout the county. We keep, of course, you know, record of immunizations. We do the typical care of those who become sick or injured, but we also conduct hearing and vision screenings, and we do a lot of care pertaining to those chronic diseases such as epilepsy and diabetes.
And then you do, I would assume, a little counseling as well related to kids that come. You know, this kid doesn't feel well. What's the issue? What do you feel? And then you have to determine what's really going on.
You know, it's like, you know us. Yes, there's a lot of, we do a little bit of everything from the caring of the student and even the counseling. And I'm sure Kat, you know, will speak more on that. But we do have to decipher whether or not if it's something physical or something social, emotional, you know, going on. You may get a kiddo that's coming down the same time every day, and you kind of start to think, what's going on? And, you know, we do a lot of touching base with the parent, communicating with our teachers and other staff. It's really, you know, a community effort to take care of the kids.
Right. Now, does schools have their own school nurse, or does Lorain County provide them, or is it a mix of both when that comes to?
It is a mix of both. It just depends on how, you know, they're contracted. Some buildings are lucky enough to have a nurse for each building. Some districts, they split nurses in between buildings, and that's, you know, going on a lot throughout the district. So a certain building may not have a nurse there at a particular time during the day. So it's important to keep in constant communication with the staff of that building.
Right. Well, let's talk, let's bring Kat Solov, Program Manager with Health Promotions Chronic Disease Prevention. Let's talk about other ways that the schools help their students to be healthy.
Sure, of course. So yeah, like Ashley covered, you know, our school nurses are so fantastic in making sure our students are healthy. But, you know, right now there's a big focus on social emotional learning. I think, you know, schools adjusting into getting more to a quote unquote normal schedule, adapting to being back in person. We've definitely noticed that the social emotional learning skills and needs are there, and the districts are working really hard to do that. So, you know, we work closely with districts in a collaborative fashion to try to find some of the best practice, you know, programming, resources, those sorts of things, so that, you know, kids can function healthy, safely in a school environment.
Right. And we talk about you so emotionally, we talk, you know, sometimes you physically have something, but when you talk about mental health as well, is that sort of a new area or an understanding of, you know, best way to treat certain things related to that at the school level?
Sure. So, you know, something that we've really tried to emphasize, and we have great districts throughout the county that we've worked together with, is that, you know, healthier students are better learners, and healthy doesn't just mean physical. We work really closely with some of the experts here in the county, such as the MARS board, as far as resources for mental health, social emotional learning, those sort of things. So really trying to make an effort to, you know, meet those students where they're at, identify needs early, and really work from like a prevention standpoint of, you know, giving kids the tools that they may need to be more resilient, to work through things like a pandemic, and, you know, things like that.
Now, does that come about through sort of an assembly? Is there classes? Do they work that into the curriculum? How is that given, disseminated to the students?
Right. Yeah, kind of all of the above. Every district's a little bit different. You know, there is classroom-based programming, you know, working with the school nurse, working with the school social worker, working with the guidance counselor, you know, working closely with the teachers, but having, you know, classroom-based, having those come in that are a little bit bigger, and maybe it's, you know, something that reaches the whole district, a whole building, or just one classroom, but also really tying in the community as well to support, you know, the learnings that come from that.
One of the other issues in the news recently has been the CDC talking about vaping. What's the status of vaping among young people now?
Yes. So, you know, we don't have great current data. You know, in 2018, 37% of 12th graders and 23% of 10th graders self-reported using e-cigarettes in the past 30 days. We will have some current self-reported data coming soon so we can get a better idea of what that actually is. We suspect that it's much higher. And, you know, we've been working with districts as far as providing some programming, curriculum, those sorts of things about, you know, what the dangers of e-cigarettes are, debunking some of those myths, and really looking at a prevention standpoint. But also, you know, students or families who do, you know, have interest in vaping or have been vaping or want to quit, there's definitely resources out there that we can connect them to.
Yeah, I see the MyLifeMyQuit.com gets some help as well. And anything probably related to tobacco cessation can kind of also help them with that.
Yeah,
sort of
absolutely. So there is always the quit line, but My Life, My Quit is exclusively for teens. It's confidential. It's free. So just a resource if, you know, a teen or a youth is, you know, vaping and interested in quitting, but maybe doesn't want to talk to a parent, maybe doesn't want to talk to, you know, someone within the school district. This is a free and confidential way for them to, you know, start that quit journey if that's what they're after.
I find it fascinating the way this vaping thing came on the scene. At one point, electronic cigarettes were advertised on our radio about a decade ago, and I'm thinking, what the heck is an electronic cigarette? What do you plug it in or something? And then some coworker had particularly had one, and you kind of like, this is interesting. And then this whole vaping thing, and then I go to places and I'm seeing kind of, it looks like almost like a locomotive coming out of the side of a car. You see all this puffing coming out. Now, occasionally, I don't mind raspberry or strawberry aroma in the air. So there's this whole thing tied together, which makes it sort of difficult to combat something like that.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of misunderstandings about the harm and the short-term effects, but also the long-term effects. You know, we really care about our youth, and, you know, prevention is always our standpoint. And, you know, we understand if youth are vaping early, the long-term health impacts that, you know, can come with that with an addictive substance like nicotine. So we're just trying to work with our districts and work with youth as best we can. You know, we do have some good news. You know, all Lorain County schools have passed a comprehensive tobacco-free policy. So vaping is prohibited on campuses. Yes, we know it's happening, but it is prohibited. And, you know, schools are really trying to take action on how they, you know, can tackle this.
All right. It's another battle that you're fighting and doing hopefully an okay job with it. And just it's all part of education and understanding what's going on with that. If people want to find out more about some of the things we talked about or get more of what's happening with the Lorain County Public Health, where's a good place to get some information on that?
Of course. So you can always call us directly, 440-322-6367. But we also have a fantastic website that's always updated with the latest and greatest, and that's LorainCountyHealth.com.
Thank you very much this morning, Kat Solove, Program Manager, Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention, and also Program Manager of School Health, Ashley Branson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time.